We're going to begin the book of Acts, chapter 6, this morning. Acts chapter 6, we're going to read through verses 1 through 7. Acts 6:1. Now in these days, while the disciples were multiplying, a murmuring or a complaint came about or took place. A murmuring of the Hellenists. That's the literal translation. Some English say against the Greeks. So these are Greek-speaking Jews. That's why they're called Hellenists. They are not called Greeks because they're not Greek. But they are Greek-speaking Jews. A murmuring took place of the Hellenists toward the Hebrews. Both the Hellenists and the Hebrews are Jews. One group is a Greek-speaking Jewish group, and the other speaks the Aramaic and Hebrew of their area. Because their widows were being overlooked, imperfect tense, showing that it was a continuous thing, not a one-day thing, that they were continually being overlooked in the daily service. I emphasize the word service because it's found a couple of times in this text. This is where the word deacon comes from. The daily service. So they would distribute food among the believers in Jerusalem. And the Hellenists were in one community, just like what we do. We, depending on our culture, background, depending on our language, we usually find the group that we want to live with or live around. And the Hellenists, or Greek-speaking Jews, they were in one community, and the Hebrews were in another, the Hebrew-speaking community. And the Hellenists, the widows of the Greek-speaking Jews, were continually being overlooked in the daily ministry or service of food. And when the disciples called the multitude of the disciples, when the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to themselves, they said, "It is not acceptable." It's a literal translation. "It is not acceptable that we, after having left the word of God, should serve tables. Therefore, look over, brothers, men from out of yourself or from among you, being witnessed to." This is a present passive participle. The King James says good report, being of good report. "Choose out from amongst you 7 men who have a witness or a testimony, not from them, but about them." So this would be from the actual Christian community itself. "These 7 men, being witnessed to as being full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint over this need. And we ourselves will continue in prayer and the service of the word." Again, diakonia, having to do with our term for deacon. They're showing that the distribution of the food to the Hellenists and the ministry of the word, it's all the ministry. It's all service. Serving the word is spiritual food, and serving the physical food, of course, is for the physical body. So they saw it all as one. "And the saying pleased all the multitude, and they chose out Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanoros, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and Antioch proselyte, whom they placed before the apostles. And after having prayed, they put their hands on them. And the word of God was increasing. And the number of the disciples was being multiplied in Jerusalem exceedingly. And a large crowd of the priests were being obedient to the faith. So verse 7 is really the result and the clincher. This entire section in chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, is to show and actually express to us how the Word of God increased, which is necessary to reach more people and to develop more people in Christ, that many might believe and that the believers might grow. It's because the Word of God was increasing. And there's a reason for it. Verses 1 through 6 tells us the reason how and why the Word of God was increasing, and in so doing, the believers were growing and people were being saved in the early church. First of all, we have this section in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 6 is actually a carryover from chapter 5. Because you remember the disciples were threatened and told not to preach anymore upon the basis of the name of Jesus. And Peter's response along with the other apostles was, it is binding to us that we speak the things that we've heard and seen. We're bound to obey God rather than man. That is the only necessity we have, Peter was saying, is that we have to obey the Lord and not men. And so Gamaliel stands up. Gamaliel was one of the members of the Sanhedrin. And he stands up and he says, put the apostles out. And then he addresses the council and says, you better watch out what you're about to do to these men. Remember Thutis and remember Judas the Galilean. People who came and people were drawn to them, but as soon as Judas, the Galilean, was put to death, his followers dispersed. So he's making the parallel to Jesus Christ. Is that Jesus Christ is the leader of this group of people. If this work is not of God, because Jesus is now dead, this group will eventually fade out. They have no leader. He's dead. But if it's a work of God, you better withdraw yourselves, because if you're found to be God fighters, to be fighting against God, people are going to tag you with that. So the wise thing to do is back off. And so after they beat them, and the Greek word for beat literally means to whip. It wasn't that they slapped them around, but literally they tied them to the stocks, and the whips had metal strips in there that just ripped the flesh right off. After they beat them and they commanded them to preach no more in the name of Jesus Christ, they released them. So now we have chapter 6. The work of the Lord through the early church did not slow down because of this. Not because of the persecution. In fact, the Lord's ministry through the early church increased, because chapter 6, verse 1 says that while the multitudes of the disciples were increasing, multiplying, while this was going on, that a problem arose in the early church. Now remember, the early church had everything in common. They sold houses and they sold lands and they brought everything and put it at the apostles' feet and let the apostles distribute to everybody whenever they had need. And so now, with the multiplying of the people, we're talking thousands of people around Jerusalem. And now they have to take care of everybody's need. And now it's becoming a problem. Because the daily distribution of bread to the widows was a ministry of the early church. But a problem arose in that the district that held the Greek-speaking Jews, their widows were being overlooked. And it wasn't because the people were saying, we don't have anything to do with the Greek-speaking Jews. They had no representation. In fact, the seven men that they will choose out to represent them are all, they all have Greek names, but they're Jews. And they had no representation. They had nobody coming out of their community and getting the food and taking it back to their community. So in the King James, when it says their widows were being neglected, it's literally the word overlooked. Each section, and you can just see the framework here as they really had things planned out so that each community had its representatives that would come and get food, and they would go back into the community and they'd be ministering and distributing food to the community. But there came a problem. In fact, there was a murmuring. It came in the form of a complaint, but they were murmuring, muttering. Gangousmos, the Greek word, has to do with somebody who silently sits there and seethes over something. And the widows were saying, "We're not getting food. Look at the rest of the widows in town. They're getting food. Our community's not getting food." So they were beginning to murmur and complain. And so this was brought to the apostles' attention. Now the first thing we have in verse 1 are the ramifications or consequences of being in charge of meeting the physical needs of the early church. The ramifications or consequences in verse 1. It's because in the daily service that they were being overlooked or neglected. So the remedy in verses 2 through 6 is that when the apostles, the 12, they're called, called the multitude of the disciples to themselves, they said unto them, in verse 2, "It is not acceptable that we, after having left the word of God, that we should serve tables." Now, they were not saying that serving tables is beneath us, because Luke is very pointed to use the word service for both the ministry of the Word of God and the distribution of food. It all has to do with the Lord's work. It is not acceptable for us to leave, after having left the Word of God, to serve tables. He's talking about priority here. The priority is in the early church and was in the early church that the Word of God takes top priority. The Word of God takes top priority. You remember the children of Israel when they were traveling through the wilderness. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 8, it tells us that the reason why God led them out into the wilderness is so they would learn that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Job, I believe it's chapter 23, about verses 12 or 13, says that he considers the words that proceed out of the mouth of God more necessary than his daily food. So the early church right away is saying the distribution of food is now starting to interfere with the priority of us ministering the Word of God. That's not acceptable. It is not right. Maintaining the priority in the body of Christ and also in our lives personally is an absolute necessity for proper spiritual growth and for proper ministry within God's people. We're living in a day and age when Christians are not interested in the Word. It's too boring. You have to sit there. We're tired. We want programs. We want to be entertained. In the early church, they said, as important as it is to get food to our people, as important as that is, it is not as important for us, the ones who minister the Word, that we should say, okay, we have a problem here, we have to leave the Word of God, we have to go over and solve this problem. We have to take food to those widows over there. He said, that's not right. It's not acceptable. That after having left the Word of God, to serve tables. So it's a matter of priority. They were saying that it's important that we get food to them, but not for those who are ministering the Word. that they should have to leave. Therefore, in verse 3, part of the remedy is look out over those men amongst you and choose out 7 men who are having a testimony born to them that they are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, so that we can appoint them over this need. Kreia is the word need. So the disciples, the apostles, saw that it was a need, it was important, but everything has to be done in priority. Now, it is interesting to me that in the early church, and this emphasizes Paul's teachings to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 3, about what we call the qualifications of ministry. They aren't qualifications, they're testimony. The remedy was they told the Hellenistic community to choose out from amongst them 7 men that had the testimony tagged to them as being full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. In the early church, you just didn't plug the holes. In fact, just recently has been brought to my attention in talking to somebody who goes to a different church. And they were telling me that they've been teaching Sunday school for 1.5, 2 years now. And when I talked with her about her salvation, about being born again, she knew nothing about it. She didn't even understand about salvation. Well, I believe in God. But are you saved? Well, I believe in God. She had no idea what it meant to be born again. She had no idea what it meant to receive Christ. She thought it was communion. Well, I've had communion, so I've received Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. She had no idea. I've been in churches before where there has been a need of Sunday school people, workers, anything. Just to plug the hole. They'll take volunteers and give them a book and say, here, go teach it. Without any concern whether the Holy Spirit is literally emphasizing and ministering an influence in that person's life. Just because you take a booklet, even if you take the Bible, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is ministering through you to other people just because you're using the Bible. There must be a testimony about that person that they are full of the Holy Spirit, that they have a reputation around, a testimony around, that the Holy Spirit is influencing that person's life. Remember, the word full means to have the inner faculties taken over. Every believer, of course, is saved. But not all believers have a testimony of being known for being under the influence of the Holy Spirit in their daily lives. Not only full of the Holy Spirit, but full of wisdom. Sophos, that's the word for wisdom, from a spiritual New Testament standpoint, means to look at life the way God looks at life. To look at life the way God looks at life. To see it through His eyes. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says that we have the mind of Christ. The nous, the perception. We have His Spirit with us, helping us to perceive the way He looks at life. And we're going to get into that in the second hour in John chapter 2. The mother of Jesus, when she approaches this problem in Cana of Galilee, she approaches Jesus with the problem, and Jesus says, well, what is there between you and me in our approach to the situation? Your approach is different than mine. You're approaching me from the human need, and I only do things for spiritual purposes. So our approach is different than the Lord's. And people have a testimony. They either do or they don't. Doesn't make a difference if it's the gardener, the Sunday school teacher. Doesn't make a difference what it is in God's work. That person must have the testimony of being known for being under the influence of the Holy Spirit in their daily life and wisdom. By being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you see life the way God looks at life. Seeking the Lord for His will. Doing as His Spirit guides and being known for the Holy Spirit ministering through you for that particular purpose. situation or ministry within the body of Christ. It's very important, and we wonder what's wrong with the body of Christ today, and we're just taking people, taking volunteers and plugging holes to get the work done. Psalm 127, verse 1, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Just doing work for the Lord is not spiritual ministry work. If He's not doing it, the people who are building in vain. Because only the things of Christ will last. So look out from amongst you, seven men, being testified to as full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Verse 4, the second thing is, and we will continue in prayer and the service or ministry of the Word. So basically what they're saying is priority. We'll stay with the Word, take these seven men, and let them be in charge of the distribution of the food amongst the Hellenistic community. The widows will get their food, and we don't have to leave the Word of God to go do that, so that after people are physically fed, they can come and be spiritually fed. That's the priority. Verse 5 says that this saying pleased the multitude. And they chose out seven. The first one mentioned in verse 5 is Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That's his testimony. He's kind of the leader of the group, and beginning next week, we're going to begin to study his ministry. He's going to be stoned, killed in chapter 7. And that's when the church is going to scatter out of Jerusalem except for the apostles. But all these thousands of people that are being saved are going to scatter and leave Jerusalem because of the persecution that is ensuing at the hands of Saul of Tarsus. The man we know as Brother Paul, before he was saved, he was leading the charge of the persecution in Jerusalem against the church. And then after the Christians scattered, he wasn't just satisfied that they were gone. He went after them in other cities. He wanted to round them up. He had some imprisoned. He stood over the stoning of Stephen. So here's a man that wanted to put out this uprising, this sect, as the Jews knew it, called the Christians. Stephen was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was producing a persuasion in his life that was beyond the human. And that was his testimony. Stephen was chosen. Then it lists six other men, all with Greek names. And the last one that's mentioned is Nicholas. Now, some church historians believe that this Nicholas later is the same Nicholas who leaves the church and goes off and starts teaching false teaching, which would be known in the book of Revelation as the deeds of the Nicolaitans. That sounds familiar, because the Nicolaitans are the followers of Nicholas and his teachings. And so some of the church fathers say that the Nicholas of Acts chapter 6, who was chosen to oversee and help with the distribution of food, later left the things of the Lord in order to preach his own doctrines. In verse 6, they brought these seven before the apostles. And it's interesting. Notice the language of verse 6. Is that after they prayed, not at the same time that they prayed, but after they prayed, they placed hands on them. So you would think that they would place hands on them and then pray, as if the both things are going on at the same time. But it's after they prayed about them, after the prayer was over, they placed their hands on them. It tells us, and actually explains to us, in the early church, the laying on of hands didn't have anything to do with any kind of mysticism, like power was going out from my fingers or something. It was identification. When you laid hands on someone, you were identifying with them. You were placing your hands on them and saying, "Go and serve the Lord. We are one with you." It was a physical act to show unity. And that's why Paul says to not lay your hands suddenly on any man. Because that's the identification factor. If a brother comes in your midst and you're unsure about him, I wouldn't place my hands on him as a symbol of saying, "I'm one with you in whatever God has you doing," because you don't know. You might even be a little curious. Let me find out about you before I get involved with any expression of unity. So after they prayed for these men and about the situation, then they placed their hands on them. Now the result in verse 7, we've had the ramifications or consequences in verse 1 that the widows were being overlooked. We had the remedy in verses 2 through 6, choosing out of the 7 men and freeing the 12 for prayer and the ministry of the word. The result in verse 7, that the word of God, imperfect tense, was increasing. It was growing. It was spreading. Because that is the priority. Just read Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus about these pastors who were suffering at the hands of the people and experiencing false doctrine in their congregations. But Timothy especially, he was just ready to quit. He's just like, "I've had it. This is a big hassle with God's people." Not against the non-believers, but with God's people. Is that they just get caught up in all different things. They argue, they fight, they... Even in the early church, those who were in ministry didn't enjoy working with the people. And it was Paul, who was sitting in prison, that wrote the letter to Timothy that told him to hang in there. Paraphrasing. Comes from the Greek word hangeo, to hang in there. But to hang in there. Preach the word, he told Timothy. Preach the word. That the word of God is beneficial for correction and instruction in righteousness. Stand on the word, Timothy. Just give the word. Whatever consequences take place from the giving of the word, that's the way it goes. But that's what you're there for, is the priority in the body of Christ is the ministry of God's word. And that's why he told him to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be careful how you divide the word. Rightly divide it as best as you know in the things of the Lord. Don't deviate because of the people want to hear something different. Don't compromise. Don't play politician and tell everybody that they're right and yet all the people contradict each other. Rightly divide the word of God and then preach it. That's the way it is. So they had the same problem in the early church that we have today. The word of God was increasing. It was spreading. And it was all because the Christians in the early church did things acceptable, did things right, did things according to priority. The priority is, obviously physical needs need to be met, but not above the prayer and study over the Word of God and the ministry of the Word of God. That is the number one priority in the body of Christ. Secondly, the number of the disciples was multiplying. Again, imperfect tense. More and more people were coming to know Christ. Unless you focus on that as far as numbers go, oh, look at the ministry, just hundreds and thousands of people are being saved. You have to remember that this big buildup is, the Lord is doing this in Jerusalem because persecution is about to come and all these thousands of people are going to scatter in all different directions. And the Lord is saving just the right amount of people to cover His work. Because remember, chapters 2 through 7 of Acts is the ministry of God in Jerusalem. verses 8, chapters 8 through 12, the ministry in Judea and Samaria, because at chapter 8, verse 1, the persecution happens and people scatter. And then verses 13 to the end of the book is God's ministry unto the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8 is the breakdown. When Jesus said, "My Spirit comes upon you," and when He comes upon you, you'll be empowered to be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's the whole breakdown of the book of Acts. So this big buildup isn't something to get excited about. There's a purpose for it. Luke is not glorying in numbers, nor is he saying that there will be hundreds and thousands of people saved if your ministry is right. He's saying that when the Word of God increases, more and more people get reached and touched with the Word of God. If you leave off from the Word, people don't get reached with the Word. He even says, thirdly, in verse 7, that a large crowd of the priests were being obedient, again in perfect tense, to the faith. So even some of the religious leaders were starting to be obedient. The word obedient, hupokuo, is put your hearing under. They're starting to put their hearing under the persuasion of God's Spirit. Rather than the religious persuasion of Judaism, they are now being persuaded by God's Spirit through the faith in Jesus Christ. Luke is presenting all this. He's presenting the problems, and he's presenting the answers to those problems in the early church. Things constantly came up from a ministry standpoint as well as individually in individual lives. Continuous problems came up to distract people from the Word, either giving it or hearing it. And the early church kept things in priority, and God's Spirit continued to move and minister in the early church through the Word of God. The Word of God is top priority. More necessary than our daily food. We think we can't go without a meal. We can't go without a spiritual meal. That's the priority in life. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for another time in which we can study the inspiration that You gave to Luke to emphasize and record for us how You moved in the early church, what the priorities were, how they handled situations. We pray by Your Spirit You would give us wisdom about the priorities of our own lives, personally, individually, and priority within the body of Christ. How important it is to meet the needs, but it is more important to pray and minister the Word and receive from the Word. We pray that You would create in us an urgency, a hunger, and a priority for God's Word, as we too must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.